Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, before we get started, I just want to mention that we have the return of the What Culture Gaming Quizzes over on YouTube this Friday at 3 p.m. UK time, and it's something we're going to be doing a hell of a lot more of across 2023. Please tune in, play along, and try and guess the video game themes yourself, and then let us know how you get on down in the comments below. If you're listening to this afterwards, the quiz will still be archived over on YouTube, so again, go and play along and have fun. We're thinking Fridays should be quiz days. For now, on with the show. Josh Brown, I can actually talk this week, this time. We did the wind-up on Monday, and I sat going through the recording afterwards, just editing out all the coughs.
It was kind of crazy.
Oh, my God.
This room was echoing like mad.
This room was bouncing.
But I'm pleased to see you well, Scott. I really am. Thank you.
We'll see if I can get through another sort of 40, whatever, minute, 50-minute recording, however long this goes on for, without coughing like a maniac again. But hopefully I'm cured. Hopefully things are fine, because the Game Awards will be on.
It certainly will. And I just want to say before we start, if you do start coughing, I'll be putting you in a coffin.
It felt like I was in one on Monday. It felt like I was a self-imposed cough coffin, which is my full name. But yeah, so the Game Awards are on tonight in the UK. They'll be like obviously out by the time some more people listen to this, but we thought it'd be fun to try and predict stuff. If you're listening to this before the Game Awards, just see, you know, get joining the excitement. And if you're listening to this afterwards, it'll just be hilarious to see what we get right. We'll just see. There's a lot of rumors doing the rounds.
And
we're going to run down some various things. I should say, I don't know if I did introductions. I don't think I did. I'm Scott Tilford. You're Josh Brown.
Hello, Scott Tilford.
Mr. James Dowse is off sick, sadly. I don't know if he's got what I have. I've not seen him. I didn't breathe on him, but
he
is ill.
But I feel like, you know, everyone's got a bad cold right now.
I always feel like whenever you tell someone you're ill, like someone's parent steps in the room, slides into the frame and says, well, you know, there's something going around.
Yeah, there always is something going around. If it's not COVID, it's a cold or it's a bug or something. It's just that time of year, isn't it? It's one of those seasons. I'm scared for our work Christmas party because that's always a petri dish
a little bit.
Some stuff going around.
You got to be around all the other people as well, going through all the pubs and stuff. But yes, Game Awards stuff, there's a lot of different rumors to break down. I think I have 8 things to go through. So we'll just tackle these. And I haven't grabbed all the specific quotes and stuff. We're just going to kind of skim off the top because it's more about the conversation, more about the talking point, especially if these things come true.
And all of this is going to be invalidated when they announce Stray 2 just kind of like lose your mind and then this podcast and you just do a 50-minute rant of why that's a bad idea.
It's going to win something. Anything. It's going to be mentioned. And I'm going to hate it. And I'm a cat person through and through, but oh my God, that game is barely a game. In terms of rumor stuff, the first one we're going to talk about is Ed Boon and the idea of a Mortal Kombat announcement, because it is Mortal Kombat's 30th anniversary, a little very much overlooked thing this year. A lot of people badgering Ed Boon over on Twitter, just saying, what are you doing for the 30th anniversary? It's kind of been a long time. You know, do you have a remaster of Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks, for example? Which he did tweet about. He did a poll. He was like, what do you guys want to see? And then people were like, Shaolin Monks or Combat Kart or whatever. And he was like, cool. And that was it. And it was like, are you doing a thing or what? So he's got out there and did a specific tweet saying, we have nothing to announce. There'll be nothing coming at the Game Awards. But he would say that, wouldn't he? He's done this many times in their 30-year history. And we do know from various other rumors in regards to Warner Brothers that NetherRealm are prioritizing the next Mortal Kombat over the next Injustice. So it's about time they showed something.
It is, but it's because it's about time, which is the reason why I don't think they will. You know, they are so overdue an announcement. They have been running like clockwork over the past few years, doing a Mortal Kombat, then doing an Injustice. Mm. And now suddenly it's up in the air because everything at WB, whether it's a game, whether it's a film, whether it's a TV show, seems to be up in the air right now because that company is in the process.
They do seem ludicrous.
Well, they're massive restructuring, and it's insane. I don't know if you saw the news this morning, Scott Telford, but you know how James Gunn was just recently appointed, you know, the head of DC Films, yes. or at least the co-head. We talked about this. Yeah, the Kevin Feige of DC, and we talked about this the other week on the podcast, saying how he wants, you know, games to be tie-ins to the DC movies and the wider extended universe. Well, he's just come in, and apparently his plan is to cancel Wonder Woman 3 and cancel the Man of Steel 2 movie that's coming out and essentially get rid of all of the Snyder stuff. So my question is, how can such massive restructurings to the superhero brand and industries across the board within WB not trickle down and affect these studios? I wonder if NetherRealm has nothing to announce because they have no idea what's going on internally. And I don't know whether that's true, but it just... After all the rumors we've had over the past few years of Warner Brothers maybe selling off their game studios, maybe not, maybe they will, maybe they'll restructure. We just don't know what's going on, and I have no idea what's happening with NetherRealm, and as such, I'm not expecting anything tomorrow of significance. I'm certainly not expecting Mortal Kombat 12, and I'm certainly not expecting Injustice 3, 4.
No, that's the thing. I was going to say, if there's one thing that they could do, it would be Mortal Kombat, because that's not tied to... I mean, there is a Mortal Kombat movie, but it's like its own thing. If you're NetherRealm and you're just trying to make ends meet and you have shareholders to please, from Warner Brothers' point of view, then Mortal Kombat is one of the only surefire things you can do, because you're waiting for all the other pieces to land. Like what just happened with Warner Brothers Montreal, that was like 10 years, almost 9 years of back and forth, whatever, after Arkham Origins, back and forth, different cancelled projects, and eventually the wonderful Gotham Knights we finally got. which only I liked, but still. And I feel like I don't want that to obviously repeat, and assumedly they wouldn't either, but it feels like Mortal Kombat would be the thing, or could be the thing, that they just do. But yeah, that feels like one of the most out there potentials. I just can't believe they haven't done anything for the 30th anniversary. That's just such an obvious thing to get in on.
100%, man, but I do think it's because WB just seems to be like on fire, even before this restructuring. Like, NetherRealm was always the exception, right? You know, all of the other studios within WB since 2015 have been all over the place. Like, the Middle Earth series just fell off the map. Those developers were eventually announced to be doing a Wonder Woman game, but we've not seen anything from that.
True.
Obviously, you know, all of the DC superhero games were rebooted or swapped studios, like Suicide Squad and eventually Gotham Knights. And it was only NetherRealm who managed to stick to that kind of clockwork production of Injustice, Mortal Kombat. And I guess for me, it's just like they had to... be affected at some point. And I wonder whether it is now, but I do think you're right that if they do announce something, it will probably be Mortal Kombat rather than Injustice, because of, like you said, you know, it's just an easier thing for them to do right now to not have to worry about potential rights issues later on down the line if these gaming companies do get sold. And obviously, you know, Mortal Kombat 11 was so well received. The Aftermath DLC was so well received. They could strike while the iron was hot with that, but whether they will be there or whether Ed Boon's telling the truth, I'm not convinced.
No, I think it'd be one of those things where they could just sort of like knock the lights out or have him present an award and be like, by the way, thanks to everybody for 30 years worth of Mortal Kombat, and we've got more to announce soon, but this is a logo, this is something, this is maybe like, because the thing is, at the end of MK11, I guess spoilers for MK11's story, in the most abstract way possible, but that entire universe is up for grabs. Like, it's like Raiden transfers his powers to Liu Kang can reshape the universe, and they don't know what's going to happen going forward, which is their sort of meta way of just going like, let's just read the terrain superhero wise or entertainment wise and design a Mortal Kombat, whatever we want to do for the future, and then wipe out whatever characters they don't want or bring people in or whatever. So they can do anything at this stage.
They certainly could. And you know what, I've just had a thought there. Obviously thought. With Tekken 8 and Street Fighter 6 coming out next year,
and they're both at the Game Awards
as well, why not have Mortal Kombat as well and have all three big fighting franchises drop next year or into 2024. Like, I know NetherRealm probably wouldn't be reacting to the competition in that way, but it would be a good time for fighting fans to have three huge fighting franchises.
Why not?
Come on, I've kind of convinced myself that it is happening now, but just because I want to see that happen.
I will say, for anyone who's listening to this before the Game Awards, go watch Katsuhiro Harada's tweet announcing that he's going to be at the Game Awards. It's just one of the best dude looks like Wesker.
Yeah.
Slow motion, putting the shades on, getting ready for the awards to announce stuff for Tekken Monday. One of my favorite things that I've seen recently. Next thing down is Death Stranding 2. Now, I haven't written that much down for this, but I think you were looking up the news beforehand, because it seems like David Harbour and Jodie Comer have been spotted in Game Awards circles. And we know that Hideo Kojima loves casting celebrities in stuff.
Yes.
And we're still waiting for two more people to be announced for Death Stranding.
This is it.
So it could be this.
The big question, Scott Tilford.
Go on.
I think it's almost nailed on that Kojima will be at the Game Awards to announce something.
Honey, you know, he was spotted at a bar last night.
100%. We know he's in LA, probably smoking his invisible cigarettes that he does. I don't know if you've seen those pictures, but I love them. He's always with Norman Reedus having an invisible smoke break outside.
It's Jeff Keighley face pressed against the glass watching him from afar.
Incredible it is. But yeah, the point I was trying to make before I just derailed myself. I can't even put a sentence together today.
It's Christmas.
It certainly is. We should get some mince pies for the office.
We tried to get them this morning, but Greg's didn't have any in.
Tomorrow.
Greg.
Yeah. Tomorrow we'll do it. What are you doing, Mr. Greg?
Mr. Greg.
Please help me out. the question is, will it be Death Stranding 2, or will it be this horror game called Overdose that leaked a few months ago? Because when it came to Jodie Comer and David Harbour talking about their involvement in an upcoming game that's apparently going to release in 2023, they referred to it as a horror game. So people on subreddits, like the Gaming Leaks and Rumors subreddits, all kind of like jumped to the conclusion of, well, maybe it's Kojima's horror game. Like you said, you know, the man loves casting high-profile and recognizable actors in his games, and David Harbour is obviously massive, Jodie Comer is obviously massive, both incredibly talented actors. If they're in a horror game, maybe it's Overdose, or maybe they have just been scanned into Death Stranding 2. I am leaning more towards a Death Stranding 2 announcement, just because I want to see that more, and the rumours were suggesting that that announcement was imminent, and Kojima has been, you know, hyping up his next game on Twitter with the who, what, where, why.
There's loads of new symbols and stuff as well.
Yep, lots of new symbols. And who was recently cast in one of his games? It was
Ellie Goulding's
Fanning. Elle Fanning.
Yes, there you go.
Elle Fanning.
Who's Ellie Goulding?
Elle Goulding.
Does that person even exist?
She's the singer.
Right,
she's
good. She might be in there as well.
She probably will be.
They might be able to have been scanned in.
Well, yeah, everyone will be in
but
there.
But still, what's his face? Yoji Shinkawa, sort of like long-time Kojima artist, did do a tweet, or maybe it was Kojima's tweet earlier this year, showing a Death Stranding 2 submarine, or a Death Stranding submarine had the Bridges logo on the side of it. So there was an assumption that we would get more Death Stranding that would have some sort of underwater submarine component thing.
Yeah.
Literally anything's on the table for that franchise.
100%.
It could go to space. I mean, like, it was after you've done the record scratch and the Flying Whales and Troy Baker. The amount that Troy Baker does in that game, you could do anything.
I suspect that at this Game Awards show, which I won't watch, by the way, because it doesn't air until 2 a.m. in the UK,
I know,
will be fast asleep. I think that the Game Awards is this big, fancy show, and it likes to get a lot of attention on itself naturally,
as it should
and as it has the right to. And I think that celebrities really help that. Obviously, they've had celebrity presenters in the past and whatnot, but if you get something like Death Stranding 2, it's natural to assume that Kojima walks out onto the stage with Norman Reedus, and the two then announce it on stage together. There are rumors that, you know, the Cyberpunk 2077 expansion is going to be shown at the Game Awards as well, and I would imagine if that's going to happen, you get Keanu Reeves to walk out on the stage, and you try to mimic the E3 presentation, you're breathtaking, all that. You know, I'm just thinking of headlines. If I was booking the show, which, thank the Lord, I'm not, because it would fall apart, I would be wanting to get those celebrities in to accompany those game announcements, which is why I'm thinking Death Stranding 2, which is why I'm thinking Cyberpunk and Keanu Reeves.
They'd be fun. My mind goes to, I wonder how much money Keighley has to book this, because he said that he actually made the show shorter this year. It's still like 2.5 hours long, but he said that it's a more trimmed show, but he's very happy with what they've got. And he has been tweeting out some of the guests, like Reggie Fils-Aimé got a tweet saying that the ex-Nintendo CEO, president or whatever. So he's going to be there. So it's like someone as big as Keanu, you would think he would advertise. But then at the same time, you can get the, oh my God, it's Keanu thing.
Exactly.
Because I was thinking Keanu wouldn't want to be anywhere near Cyberpunk after everything that happened, but he is in the expansion.
100%. So, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think the actors in video games necessarily care know if it bombs in, with the public. I imagine Keanu is like, people love me at E3, people really like the character, one of the highlights of that game, and it was a good response when the DLC was announced to include Johnny Silverhand again, so I don't think he'd be put off at all. I think he'd be like, people love me.
I love
I'm
the,
go out.
The idea of someone saying, hey, and what was your thoughts when it, when Cyberpunk bombs? Like, did it? What do you mean? Did it what? Tomo was brilliant. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Kojima's nearly always at the Game Awards, even when he returned in like 2016 or whatever it was, that was at the Game Awards. So we'll see what happens. The next thing down is the Metal Gear Solid remake, which was broken by Spanish website. I was going to attempt this, and as I look at it, I just apologize for getting it wrong. It's something like Aria Juhones, but you can have a bit of Google for yourself. But yes, they broke the idea of a Metal Gear Solid remake. But this has been broken many times before. It feels like it comes around nearly every year, especially since we've seen the rendering tech of the Fox Engine remaking the likes of Metal Gear Solid 3 for the pachinko machines that Konami still put out there. And that was a whole other rumor, is that we're getting Metal Gear Solid 3 again, but it makes more sense to start with 1. But yeah, the idea that Metal Gear Solid is coming around again, Konami said in October that they want to remake various games and revisit various properties. Obviously, Silent Hill got a whole stream to itself, but that was one of the first times Konami did anything game forward in quite some time. So it kind of makes sense to do more Metal Gear. To revive Metal Gear. It's one of the last big franchises to just not be touched on. I don't know if I trust any of it.
No.
Because it's just such, it's in such a weird place. But what do you think of the whole thing?
I'm sure that is real. I'm sure the project is happening in some form. We've heard about it too often for it to not have some kind of validity. However, I wonder whether it would be announced at the Game Awards. And I'm not suggesting that Konami is this petty, but the Game Awards obviously very much sided with Kojima when that fallout happened. And you had Jeff Keighley on stage, you know, years ago saying that, you know, they would have loved Kojima to be in attendance to accept his award, but he even called out Konami for not letting Kojima do that. So I wonder whether, you know, Konami as a company cares about that and wouldn't want to show their new game at, even if it is a remake, at this show. Mm. They would rather do their own thing like they did with Silent Hill, or whether, you know, that is not at all a factor because it's a big business and they've just kind of forgotten about that and maybe use this space to quote unquote make amends. I don't know.
It has been like 7 years since Metal Gear Solid 5. I don't know. I used to know the name of the dude who was in charge, the guy that reportedly fell out with Kojima, which led to all that stuff. I don't even know if that dude's still in charge or not, but it feels like overall Konami are in a different time for their company right now. Like, they're trying game stuff again. They put the Castlevania collection out. Like, you know, they've got the whole, the amount of Silent Hill projects that they're greenlighting. So it seems like they want to remind you that they do stuff again, which would be kind of cool. So maybe.
I'll tell you what as well.
Go on.
Do you know who else needs to remind us that they're doing stuff? Sony?
I think I'm going to say Rocksteady, but go on.
Well, Rocksteady as well. I would like to see something from Rocksteady.
Are they alive?
Sony now, as I've mentioned before on this podcast, I think they've had a great year, but they're now in a position where they've used up pretty much everything that they announced. They've got all of the director's cuts of the PS4 games out. They've got God of War out. They have Horizon out. They have Gran Turismo out. The only game that we know is coming next year, correct me if I'm wrong, is Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
We know Wolverine is coming at some point. That probably,
that's now 2025?
Yeah, that probably won't be next year, just considering it's Insomniac.
Just play as in a Midnight Sun.
So just do it. Different projects ongoing. We know that there's a Last of Us multiplayer thing coming at some point, but we don't know the roadmap in the same way that we knew the roadmap for the first few years of the PS5's life. So I wonder whether they use the Game Awards to at least start setting that down with, you know, Metal Gear Solid's remake, with something else that we're going to talk about later on.
I would like any PS5 games. Yeah. That would be nice, just actual dedicated PS5 stuff, because it's been nice playing Marvel Midnight Suns and Need for Speed Unbound, games that are next-gen only. Definitely for Need for Speed. I might be wrong about Midnight Suns. But either way, Midnight Suns runs gorgeously on PS5, but Need for Speed is definitely a next-gen only game. And it's just nice finally having those games that just run well and look beautiful and just feel next-gen.
Hey, you've got the Callisto Protocol. That's next-gen, so...
It's not a next-gen dodging system, is it? It's, they're getting there. Callisto's so close, but they're still so far. Hopefully it gets passed and things. Next one down is Crash Bandicoot. As of this morning when we're recording this, the official Twitter account for Crash Bandicoot just tweeting. Sorry, it would have been from yesterday, I guess, in the US. What's everyone doing tomorrow night then? Which is funny because the Crash Bandicoot, in terms of Crash leaks and stuff, there was a game called Crash Bandicoot Wumpa League that was leaked, I don't know, like 2-3 years ago now. There was some key art for that that was leaked. And it was just this idea of like a Crash Bash style game, which would be brilliant. However, there was something else, and I'm blanking on the name of it, but the idea was that you would have, it would be not like an open world game, but almost like Crash Team Racing story mode, where it's Crash Team Racing As a way to get from level to level. You're in the carts and you can compete and stuff. And then when you get to those nodes, you fire into a Crash Bandicoot level. So I would love that so much. Yeah. Like as a new Crash game that's like, you know, just like just hybridizing the two. Like if you had a Mario game that was like Mario Kart and Mario, like that would be unbelievable. And I love the idea of them doing that for Crash.
It would, but
go on.
I'm going to say no to this because
why?
For as much as I've enjoyed that concept, and for as much as I like the idea of Wumpa League as a thing, Crash Bandicoot, It's About Time was so good that I would just love a direct follow-up to that. Just give me a straightforward continuation, because that was such a great platformer. It got everything about the original Crash games and their mentality correct, in my opinion.
It was so stupidly good.
It was stupidly good. It had so much content, was so Moorish, had that nice level of difficulty to it, had really imaginative levels and new mechanics that they brought in. I just kind of, I'm a sucker, and I just want more of that. It's rare that I say, don't change anything, just give me more. Mm-hmm. But with Crash Bandicoot, I would like one more, please.
I'd be curious, because, Crash 4, it's worth just saying, was unbelievably good. They nailed that thing. Oh, my God, I loved that thing so much. I played so much of that and finished it and everything. But, in terms of the art style, I'm curious what a new version of Crash Team Racing would be like, now that they've learned all the lessons from the remake, and you sort of, put bits... Because you can do both. Like, you can still have all the levels, all the content from a Crash 4 follow-on with all the lessons learned from the Crash Nitro-powered, whatever it was, collection thing.
Yes.
Nitro Field, I think it was called. The remake of CTR that then went on to be this whole games-as-a-service type thing that did really, really well. They have so many lessons learned from all of that to sort of bring it together into this incredible new ground for, platformers and kart racers.
Yeah, they definitely could. I wonder who would develop it. I don't know if there's been any rumors around
at the time.
That.
It was just an assumption of Vicarious Visions again.
Right. See, that would be
Toys for Bob.
Amazing.
Robert.
Might be Toys for Bob. Who knows? It'd be one of those, Activision
teams. What if it's the Crash
that
Spyro crossover?
I don't need it. I don't need it in my
I'm
life.
I'm curious about that.
I liked Spyro being in Crash 4 as a big inflatable balloon. I don't know if I need them to properly cross.
You can
race
him in CTR.
I didn't realize how conservative I was when it came to Crash Bandicoot until right now.
Don't cross the streams.
No, I just want Crash Bandicoot. I want classic levels, and I don't want anything else. It's kind of off brand.
A little bit.
I'm kind of trying to come to terms with that fact.
I think
on
it's
this
because
podcast, and I don't like it.
They
be
feel
honest.
Because we grew up knowing they were opposites, but then at the same time they always had shared DNA. Like there was always that Spyro demo inside Crash 3. They always had there was a Crash demo inside one of the Spyro games as well. They always seem to be shaking hands between back then Naughty Dog and Insomniac. And then it's like there was only ever those crossover Game Boy games where you could play as either of them or whatever it was. And I like the idea of just for the sake of it doing something with them together. But they don't feel that compatible as characters.
No.
Like if they were running alongside each other, they wouldn't belong. Like it doesn't really work.
That's so. I like Spyro, but I love Crash.
I love them both.
The games were remastered, I played the Crash trilogy to death, loved it, and I jumped into the Spyro trilogy. It was a trilogy,
Reignited
right?
Trilogy.
Yeah, Reignited Trilogy, and enjoyed it, but didn't finish it, didn't go for the platinum. It just kind of sparked a little bit of nostalgia, and I thought, that's me, don't
Sparks,
I?
Sparks, good little pun. It's called the little mosquito
Enjoy
thing.
That.
Sparks,
But with Crash, I just think the gameplay of those games in Crash 4 is just a little bit more Returnal. Feels a little bit more like it stands the test of time compared to Spyro, which I enjoy and is fun, but does not engage me in the same way. However, I will say, with 2000s fashion being in right now, you talked about
potential. Is it back in?
It's back in.
Oh my God, I might spike my hair up again. Scott, my time has come.
Your time has really
I finally changed the hair and then it comes back again.
But with all that stuff coming back in, give Crash tribal tattoos again. Why not?
Oh, God.
Go back to that. Go back to Crash of the Titans.
I don't think we need that.
Thanks.
I don't think we need that. I almost got a tribal tattoo as my first tattoo back in today, and then I didn't, thankfully. But oh my God, I forgot about Tribal Crash. That
tribal
was a
Crash.
Crash of the Titans and all that. I forgot about all that stuff. But yeah, so we know something Crash Bandicoot's going to be there, and I guess we'll just see what that is. Next thing down is just Elden Ring full story DLC. Now, Elden Ring just got DLC, but it was more tournament-based, Colosseum-based, where you can do a series of different fights, whether it's 1-on-1, 2-on-2, or 3v3, which is just this sort of random multiplayer mode that you can just have fun in. The assumption always was that Elden Ring would get story-based DLC, though, and I saw Jason Schreier out there from Bloomberg saying that he thinks it's intelligent getting the sort of arbitrary tournament DLC, the multiplayer DLC, out there as a nice little freebie, and then do some sort of paid DLC going forward, whether that's at the Game Awards or not, is the talking point. But what do you think of Elden Ring stuff? at the Game Awards.
I hadn't thought about it because, like you said, you know, they announced the Colosseum DLC, and I thought in my head, well, that's it for now. That's all they will announce. And maybe we'll get a DLC announcement next year. However, like you said, you know, since I've heard you talk about it and since I've seen the stuff from Jason Schreier, I think, yeah, maybe that is the way they're going to approach it, you know, announce and release the free multiplayer PvP stuff and then at the Game Awards say, oh, and by the way, while you're enjoying that, we've got a proper expansion coming, say April 2023. I hope that happens and that would absolutely own.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
We need more games in 2023.
We need
slot them in.
Just slot them in somewhere. Somewhere in there. 3 week here and there.
Oh my god! It's the amount of stuff. That was it. That was a joke because 2023 is stupidly round right now. It's ridiculous. But yeah, I feel like Elden Ring DLC has been talked about most of the year long, and that was such a big thing back in April, or most of the year really, for that game overall. But yeah, I like the idea of them doing it that way, where they sort of just get on stage. Maybe it's Hidetaka Miyazaki and just sort of says, look, this is the next part of the story, but you can enjoy this right now. We've got more coming for you later, and go from there. There was a really good interview with him where there was like a soundbite where he said he didn't consider Elden Ring their biggest work or something, and he was amazed that it's doing so well. I was like, that's brilliant.
I wonder if
this dominating is like, I suppose it does, yeah.
I don't think they will, but what if they just announce an entirely different game, you know?
Maybe, well, there is that other rumor, right, that it's already finished or something.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. They were like, well, our next game is more or less ready to go. There are rumors that it might be the new Armored Core. There are rumors that it might be Sekiro 2. You know, who knows? Maybe they just don't announce DLC and say, but actually, our next game, we were working on that as well.
Oh my god, maybe what do you think people would think if that Elden Ring DLC we just got is the last thing for Elden Ring? Would you care that you don't get story DLC?
It depends. if they had a new game that they were already working on, I would say fair enough. Like, I personally would love Elden Ring DLC, but I don't need it. I enjoyed that game so much.
Same, yeah.
And it still continues to give to this day that if they said, you know what, we're focused on our next game and then we're going to make Elden Ring 2 and we didn't get DLC, I would be fine with that.
Yeah, same. That's the thing. Like Elden Ring, it's like each of us put over 100 hours into it. It's like I could go back to that world, Lands Between, and have more fun there. But I'm also fine enough with them doing whatever they want to do next. I was very surprised that the Sekiro 2 rumors did the rounds because that felt like such a one-off game. Like it's just such a, you don't really make a character build in that necessarily, other than just picking different options, the special attacks and stuff. So I was curious for them to go back into that mold. It felt like something they just wanted to try, and then they steered back into Elden Ring again. But one of the prevailing rumors for like an Elden Ring 2 announcement was Brandon Sanderson writing the next one instead of George Martin.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, so there is that. I mean, he is like the biggest name in fantasy writing right now, so it's like you could just get him on the next thing.
What if? Yeah, I don't think they will, but what if they do just say, you know what, no DLC, Elden Ring 2, baby. It's an early pre-production. I mean, I don't even think people would mind. Think of how long it took between announcement, or at least, you know, kind of the first rumors and then the release of Elden Ring. It was a long time. It was well teased.
That worked in their favor, though. It became like the most hyped game that finally managed to actually like nail the hype on launch day. One of the only games that launched complete.
Yeah.
Like Need for Speed Unbound. But still, yeah, I'm curious. If they come out there and do a trifecta and just say, hey, the DLC came out yesterday or whatever this week, go enjoy that. We've got story DLC coming next year and we've got Elden Ring 2 in production by Brandon Sanderson. That's a dominative approach.
It absolutely is. Would you want to see, though, another game? Because we were talking about Sekiro there, right? Mm. And I also agree that it would be weird if they did Sekiro, just because that, you know, was published by Activision. It was such a one-off. Mm. But I do think it's a mistake to leave that combat system at one and done. I love Sekiro, but I think there's a better version of that game. You know, when Bloodborne came out, I thought that was like one of the best games of all time. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was a fully realization of that style and that set of mechanics, similar to Dark Souls.
I know what you mean.
And the Dark Souls trilogy. Sekiro came out, and it's a great game, but I don't think it's the best version of itself. For me, the back third falls down a little bit with repetition and not great pacing and level design, because you're going through a lot of older areas. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the core is solid. Put that in and make it as good as a whole as Bloodborne, as Dark Souls, as Elden Ring.
Yeah,
there's one more in there.
It's definitely like Dark Souls. Like I said, Dark Souls, Bloodborne, and Elden Ring are all down a certain path. They're all very, like, they all have the same core feel. Sekiro has a different, more acrobatic, over-the-top feel in terms of how you're approaching enemies and stuff, and you stay on the move a hell of a lot more. Maybe you add more stuff like wall kicks, and you can flip over dudes and do more, a lot more in that vein. That would be really cool. I think there's more to do in that regard, but I don't know how much they have to, like, nail down the build side of it, because if they want to have a certain set of animations. I'm overthinking what Sekiro is, but I'm thinking that Sekiro's combat is such a specific, pristine thing. But yeah, either way, just curious what they do. The fact that Miyazaki was just out there saying, you know, we try not to take it to heart, we try not to get carried away with just how many accolades we're getting, and we're just working on the next thing, that's kind of allowed them to have this insane turnover for the last 10 years, and they are easily one of the best studios in the world right now, just because they're not bowing to, like, studio trends or industry trends. They're just doing their own thing. Next thing down, speaking of not wanting stuff, is the Uncharted reboot. Now, this comes from a website called The Leak, which I'd never heard of, but Insider Gaming, who is headed up by Tom Henderson, who does all sorts of Battlefield leaks and various video game leaks overall, said they couldn't corroborate it, but they did know that Sony are doing something with Uncharted overall. The website called The Leak said that it's an Uncharted reboot, and Insider Gaming mentioned that The Leak have been spot on with various leaks over the years. So it seems like this is the case. Whether this is something that happens at the Game Awards, I doubt, because it seems like it just leaked the other day. But we can do it as a talking point. What do you think of the idea of... It wouldn't be by Naughty Dog either. It would be a different team. What do you think of Uncharted continuing from the beginning again?
Yep. If this is the way that Uncharted needs to continue, this is the best way to do it, for my money. Mm. I don't want to see Naughty Dog do it again. Not because I don't think they'll do a good job. I love the Uncharted games, but I don't want to see them spend another 4 to 5 years on another Uncharted game when they could be doing something new or
anything
creating
new,
creating an original IP. You know, they finished with Uncharted 4 and The Lost Legacy, a great finale to that story. So yeah, get another team in for my money and see what they can do with the brand. Maybe have some legacy characters return, or maybe just do an entirely new reboot with a fresh face cast. I'm not entirely sure.
Do you do it with Cassie? Do you do it with Drake's daughter?
I would.
Spin it off that way, yeah.
I think there's too much value in legacy characters in video games, returning as side characters. You know, Gears... say what you want about, you know, the gameplay of Gears 4 and 5, but having Marcus Fenix and the rest of Delta Squad return as kind of like gruff, older versions who've seen it all and who you don't play as this time around, for me, imbued them with a sense of pathos and humanity that they didn't have as playable characters. Mm. And I wonder whether you could do that in this universe with Drake, with an older Sully, with Sam, and have them there on the periphery. In the same way that, you know, the likes of Sully and Sam and Elena were in the first three games, I would personally like that.
Yeah, I think it's a hard thing to do, because if you don't nail your new character stuff very well, like it was always that thing with JD Phoenix, like at the end of Gears 4 when the old squad turn up, and I was like, why couldn't I just have been playing these dudes the whole time? They have so much more banter. They are so much more fun than JD and the rest of the squad. I don't even know what the rest of the characters are called for JD's squad. But obviously Kate in Gears 5, who's then way more solid. She's way better as a main character. But yeah, it depends how much they nail the new people to then bring in the legacy characters. Because if they just bring in Nathan Drake, or they remind you of what Uncharted used to be, then that's a really hard or tough card to play if you haven't nailed the new stuff. I just don't want more Uncharted. Like, oh my God, it's done. Let things be done. I feel like I just need to stand on like a cliff top and just scream, let things be done until franchises are done. I've got franchise fatigue at this point.
Yeah.
Where I notice something, it fits into a certain box and it puts me off. And I'm just sick of it. So I don't, Uncharted always played well enough, but not incredible. I never like adored my time with an Uncharted. It always felt like I got shot from across the map or a set piece fell apart because I wasn't in the exact place I was supposed to be in or whatever it was. And I've never like adored an Uncharted. Like I have obviously really liked a lot of them, especially Uncharted 2 and Lost Legacy. But I feel like that whole set piece, it looks like a movie, but you're pushing the analog stick. Like that whole approach to gaming, I feel like is a bygone era.
Yeah.
And I want to do something completely different at this stage.
Fair. I totally get that. You know, I also am a champion of letting things just end and be done. But like I say, to me, this is the least offensive way to continue Uncharted because you're not forcing it on Naughty Dog. You're not forcing a continuation of a story that, in my opinion, wrapped up excellently.
Totally.
It's something...
And then they did Lost Legacy, I loved Lost Legacy so much, but it was like, this is the last time you can do this.
Yeah.
Like, you can't keep going back to this.
It's true, and I would like it if it does return from this new studio to be different, to God of War it, for lack of a better term, to, you know, maybe keep some of the core tenants, some of the core characters, some of the core locations, but completely revamp the gameplay, maybe double down on the open world elements. I don't know. I wouldn't want it to be... And maybe this is sacrilegious, in the style of the Naughty Dog games, because then you are going to be comparing it to Naughty Dog's work and you're going to be thinking, well, they might have done this cutscene better, they might have done this set piece better. You know, whoever comes in and does an Uncharted game, make it your own, like properly revamp it. Don't be afraid to try new things, because otherwise you're going to get into that kind of like death zone of people going, it's not a Naughty Dog product.
I know. I think it's, as long as they don't have like more climbing sections where every third handhold falls away and you fall down and climb up again. I really like Golden Abyss, to be honest. That's Sony Bend, but I don't think they would give it to Sony Bend. I feel like they would give it to a new team to try something else. But that game was more differentiable because it was on the Vita and you were like scrubbing away like, paper rubbings or whatever in cave paintings by rubbing the Vita's back touchpad and things like that. So maybe you need to double down on the DualSense and stuff. I don't know what you do to like differentiate the feel of Uncharted, but whatever. That's very unlikely to appear, but you never know. The next one down on Sony's side is Horizon Forbidden West DLC Burning Shores, which is leaked early. Now, there's not very many details about this, but I feel like Horizon has just overlooked this entire year.
Yeah, man.
I didn't really rate it that much, and I adored Zero Dawn, but I didn't rate Forbidden West that much. But all the same, it feels like it should have its day in the sun, like properly. It should be showboated a lot more, because when it came out, it was buried under Elden Ring. And then when we talk about best PlayStation games of the year, it's just easily God of War, and Aloy / Horizon just never gets a look in whatsoever.
No, and it's weird, right? Because I did rate Horizon Forbidden West, but for as much as I'm excited that a DLC is coming, it's up in the air whether I'll actually play it. Something about the expansions to Sony first-party games that just don't feel like essential. And I don't know what that is. Maybe it's just a me thing, but I didn't, play the Frozen Wilds or whatever it was called, and I didn't play Ghost of Tsushima.
Tsushima is really good.
Well, this is it, right? I'm sure it is. And it's been downloaded on my system for months, but I can't justify getting to it because, like I say, it doesn't feel necessarily essential or something that's going to be like a must-play title in the same way that the main games were. And to me, that's why I always respected God of War, because while I probably would have played DLC for that, I like that they said, look, we could release DLC or we could just get cracking on the next game. And I don't know. Like, I'm happy it exists, but it's not going to get me exciting or more excited about Horizon.
The thing is, like I said, I adore the Horizon IP and I love Zero Dawn, but it's the Frozen Wilds DLC was like the beginning of my biggest negative that manifested in Forbidden West, which was just it's just more of what you've already done.
Yeah.
And Frozen Wilds, the expansion for Zero Dawn, was just here's a little bit tagged on to the map, and so you can go up there. It's and obviously the visuals change. It's where it is like a frozen landscape, but you are just doing more of the same stuff. And then that was like my overall feeling for Forbidden West. So I kind of wonder what you can do story-wise, because it depends when it's set, I guess. And then it's like, do you just do like another sort of random clan or a random bunch of characters? You go and talk to them for a little bit. It's like a couple of hours expansion, and you take out a bunch of new machines or whatever it is. Like, there's only so many things you can do in that. It feels like there's only so many things you can do in that space. I would love them to do something with, is it the Sunwing, the name of the flying thing you get at the very end?
Uh-huh.
One of the stupidest ideas ever, giving you a new traversal option in the end game. Like, we're done. It's done. You've just spent like 40 hours finishing the thing. I would like them to do something that doubles down on that. Maybe you're racing other ones or chasing them. I don't know. Ooh. Doing something that capitalizes on the aerial side of it. Because it's a whole wing of that game, literally.
Wing.
That you never see. Because it's like you take to the skies for no reason at the end of that game.
No, I'm with you. Like, I want to... If they do announce this and they have something cooking, I would like to see new mechanics like that fleshed out, you know, new ideas, because for as much as I rated Horizon Forbidden West, I'm with you. It was more Horizon.
Yeah.
And I've just had more Horizon and don't currently need more Horizon, if that makes sense. If nothing fundamental has changed, there might be some people who just want that and will eat it up, and that's absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. But for me, I've had my fill in this extra course. Right now, there's not... enough new ingredients that I can imagine.
I tell you what I've noticed all year long is that anyone who does any post on Twitter, on social media, whatever, about Horizon, it's never, ever about the gameplay. It's always, look how gorgeous this is. Look how beautiful this sunset is. Look, just look at the visuals and look how incredible the detail, the flora and the fauna is, which I totally agree. It's a stunning game. I would love anyone to do anything that celebrates the gameplay in Horizon. Just show me one cool new mechanic. Show me one cool idea that they had.
Yeah.
Anything at all. The nearest to that is the Sunwing flight stuff, because you can just leap off a cliff and call it and it catches you and you fly away. But I've just noticed that. I started noticing it around the review period where everyone was screaming about how gorgeous it looks, and I've just not seen a single person champion it as a video game.
Right.
I just would love to see that. I'd love them to have some new mechanic in the DLC. Anything at all would be really cool.
I agree. I would like new stuff, but I will say that the gameplay loop of Horizon Forbidden West did own. I was invested in that. It might not have done anything new, but it did what it did, in my opinion, really well from a gameplay perspective. And I was in that world, you know, wanting to do the next mission, go take down this mech over here and whatnot. So
it is solid. I think of, like, you know, the jump from, not necessarily a jump because it's more of an expansion turned release, but from Spidey 2018 to Miles Morales. And it was like in Miles Morales, it was like, well, we'll give you all these L1 powers. So you hold the button, you do these lightning powers, they can factor into the combos, and they have like different abilities. Like, you can send a guy flying across the room and you can aim at specific stuff. That little addition, that little wrinkle to combat was like added a lot to the overall feel of combat. Whereas like Horizon, it was like, well, you can trigger these like special boost modes, but they're pretty naff. Like, one of them lets you like nail a few headshots, but the other one just makes you invisible, which is like, what am I even going to do with that?
Right.
Other than walk around a guy. I want something like that. I want them to sort of, you know, add wrinkles to combat where it's like, this changes everything in a really cool way. Or do story stuff. Ghost of Tsushima's expansion is brilliant. Like, it's all about Jin's dad. And I feel like that's one of the rare DLCs where it adds like a fundamental character element that like it reinforces the rest of the story, kind of like Left Behind did for Last of Us,
right?
Where it's like, okay, this makes me carry this character with a different amount of weight now that I know that he has this going on in his head. And I think that's really, really cool. Last thing down is that Daniel Craig's been spotted, James Bond himself. And there's so many rumors doing the rounds that at the Game Awards, there'll be Project 007 is what it's being referred to, but it's just this general idea of GoldenEye's releases happening on the day where you get Daniel Craig out and he just says, you know, the remake of GoldenEye that's been talked about a lot is finally coming out. Some of this stuff we know is coming. There are official trailers out there, but it's so weird. It's so weirdly handled because you have the original 1997 GoldenEye, the N64 one, which is what's being re-released. That's what's been officially mentioned. It's only got multiplayer, online multiplayer on Switch. It doesn't have it on Xbox, which is ridiculous. For whatever reason, I guess Nintendo had some conversation in there because it originated on N64. And then you get the upscaled version of the 1997 one on Xbox going forward, and assumedly PlayStation as well. But if Daniel Craig's doing stuff, there is that other weird remake of GoldenEye from like 2009 or whatever that has his face in it. That's like the Daniel Craig's Bond version of GoldenEye, which has only ever been on the Wii. So I don't know whether he's coming out to announce that that's also happening, or I don't even know.
The Daniel Craig thing is weird, right? Because Daniel Craig's relationship with Bond, obviously he loves the character, he's played it for so many years, but to me, he reminds me of Harrison Ford in Star Wars, where once that's done, like, I couldn't imagine, even if he was in it, Harrison Ford coming out and promoting anything Star Wars related that wasn't tied directly to a movie. And because Daniel Craig's time as Bond is done, like, I just, in my head, it doesn't compute that he would come out and then promote another Bond thing. To me, it feels like that time in his life is over. Mm-hmm. He's on to, you know, the Knives Out series, for instance.
True.
Like, yeah, maybe they will. Obviously, he's been spotted, so maybe they have wrangled him somehow. But in my head, there's something about that that doesn't commute. If it was around the time of No Time to Die was releasing, then yeah, I could maybe see it, but this far removed with his time as Bond done, even if it is a remaster of an old game or tied to IO Interactive's thing, I don't know. Yeah.
I will quote him. He said he would rather slash his wrists than play Bond again.
There you go. So, then he did play Bond again, so, you know.
But he did die eventually. I guess he was like, I'll come back one more time, but you are killing me in this movie.
The Harrison Ford thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the Ford paradox. But even he comes back and does stuff over and over again, doing geriatric Jones or whatever it is. But yeah, the whole GoldenEye thing, it's one of those things where I just, no one other than, even the generation above us cares about GoldenEye being available. Like, I like the idea of it being available as a relic in history. Yeah. Like, it is a massive part of first-person shooters on consoles, but no one really cares about it. I mean, even Halo can't make it work. Like, yeah. GoldenEye's not going to do it.
Look, I love you, and I love that you have some fondness for this game. It's the Mario...
It's very little for me, though.
Right, okay. Yeah. It's the Mario movie to me.
Right.
Like, that drops... You drop a trailer for GoldenEye, I don't watch it. You know what I mean? I just don't. Like, it's not... It was before my time. Right. I don't have the nostalgia for it, and I have no desire to play it now. Mm.
The GoldenEye menu music has aged better than the game has.
Right.
That main music absolutely slaps, let me just tell you. Yeah. That GoldenEye music is incredible. on the game, it's like synthy as hell. It's great. But yeah.
If you're talking about generational kind of differences, if it was a Nightfire remake or remaster...
That.
Hell yeah.
We should have had a video that went live. It should have gone live now about video game accessories that everyone owned until they didn't. Because I remembered multi-taps. Now, I remembered multi-taps that was everywhere, and you may have had a multi-tap, or one of your friends had a multi-tap, or get them along so we can have four-player stuff. Four-player PlayStation 2 multi-tap sessions on Agent Under Fire and then Nightfire is such a moment in human history. That was a brilliant time.
That's it for me, man. Like, yeah. That's when I think about James Bond games. I think about, if you talk about multiplayer, I think about Nightfire.
Totally.
I don't think about GoldenEye.
No, I do too. The thing is, like, it's worth pointing out that for me, I didn't have an N64 when I was a kid. The only Nintendo thing I had was a Game Boy. So I didn't actually get... I played GoldenEye at a friend's house, but that's my same thing. My actual first experience of, like, multiplayer Bond stuff was Agent Under Fire and then Nightfire. Because I didn't actually get a copy of GoldenEye myself until like 2 years ago. So I don't have the childhood nostalgia for it. I like it as a relic, and I like it as something that a lot of people play.
Yeah.
And I have that like weird peripheral knowledge of it because friends around me were playing it, but I don't have the actual connection to it.
When I think of GoldenEye, I think of the first level of Time Splitters 2.
Yes, you know what
I
mean? Well, because they redid it. It's the damn level again. Same.
And it's like, oh, maybe I just, when I think of GoldenEye, people talk about it. Mm. Am I thinking of Time Splitters 2? Do I just want to play Time Splitters 2? And I think the answer is yes.
Well, the thing is, they finally got around to putting Time Splitters 2 on Xbox. It's all upscaled and everything. It's beautiful and weirdest aiming mode of all time. It always felt weird at the time, and then there still is. But yeah, that whole idea of, you know, Free Radical, I guess it was Rare at the time, then became Free Radical, their overall position in like FPS history should be talked about more, because like they were instrumental to so many things getting off the ground. GoldenEye will be fun. It'll be a fun thing. It'll be kind of when they put Quake back out on the Switch or Doom or something. It's like, that's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice to have.
It's nice to have. You know, that's it, right? I might not be personally excited for it, but GoldenEye is one of those seminal games. And in my opinion, all of these games should be readily accessible for people to experience and appreciate. So yeah, while I might not be excited for it, it is long overdue being available in some kind of modern form.
I wonder if they make it so you can look up and down. Because you couldn't do that in the original GoldenEye, as far as I know. But we'll see. But yeah, so the Game Awards are on tonight, but they're on like 1 a.m. for us. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what we got right. We'll see if any of this is correct at all. And we'll do some sort of... we might do a video on it tomorrow morning, depending on what gets announced. If it's really flat and there's nothing there, and Stray wins Game of the Year, I'm not even coming in. So we'll see what happens.
Bye.
But for now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Josh Brown.
Always a pleasure, Scott Tilford.
Didn't do the standard intro, but I will do it next week. But we'll catch you then.
See ya.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.